Well, got your seat belts on? Good. Praise God. We're talking about the kingdom of God this month. And the kingdom business is eternal. It has eternal rewards. The kingdom of God is what Jesus came preaching. It's a Jesus came into this world with an agenda, and his message was the kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of God. He preached the power of the kingdom of God. And by the way, Lori, your prayer back here, it has everything to do with this whole message. Thank you, Jesus. So you're right on it. The Bible says he came preaching the kingdom of God. Now, do you know anyone else in history, in known human history, any propounder or founder of any man's religion, let's say Confucius or Buddha or Muhammad or any of these who came and preached the kingdom of God? None of them. None of them preached the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. And as he preached it, it manifested. When he spoke it, it manifested. The kingdom of God is, Jesus is the express image of God. That means that if you want to know who God the Father is, all you have to do is look at Jesus. And he is the king of that kingdom. When he rose from the dead, he brought his blood in before the Father and poured it out on the mercy seat in heaven. And then he bowed and he left. And as he was leaving that room, the Father pointed the scepter at him and made him ruler over all things to the church. He's the head of the body over all things to the church. That scepter pointed to him. God will not take that back. That is given to him. And when God calls you and you are born again, you are born into his family, you're not born into a set of rules and staunch regimens. You're born into a family with a father. I will always be the son of Bob Totten. That was my dad. That can never change. You may be a vessel of honor or dishonor, but anyhow, you are still a son of the living God when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? So God loves you. And that's the message of the kingdom. But, you know, some of those guys, Confucius and Muhammad, they preached a form of religion. But when Jesus preached, when Jesus started talking and opened up his mouth and they heard the wisdom of God, the Pharisees stood mute. They couldn't answer. The Sadducees had no response. The priests and the scribes. I mean, you know, the scribes with all their little fortune cookie type of wisdom. You know, they came out with these long yarns about the man who had a wife and all of this stuff that they tried to shove in Jesus, and Jesus just opened his mouth and with one sentence just leveled it all. Nobody ever spoke like him before or since, really. I mean, we try. But Jesus was amazing. Is amazing. Amen. I mean, the multitudes were healed and fed. Their family members were raised from the dead. Hey, that rhymes. Sinners were forgiven, whatever. Everything that couldn't be done under the law was done in Jesus. That's why Jesus, you know why? Because he walked in love. He walked in joy. He walked in peace. Look at the fruit of the Spirit right there. And against such, there is no law. Because he is the fulfillment of the law, just like love is the fulfillment of the law. The kingdom of God, and he gave the law to lead them there. He gave them the law to show them they can't do it on their own. Jesus stood on that hill and said, you can't obey this. I mean, look at the Sermon on the Mount. Can you do that in human strength? Can you forgive as you've been forgiven? You can't do that. So it's all to point to him. And what's him? His message is the kingdom of God. He wants you to rule and reign with him. This is such an amazing honor. that he's called us to. And when he came, I keep on getting it. I do have a message here, but kingdom just, shoot. And when he came, he did exactly what Gabriel told Mary he would do. Look at Luke chapter 1, and let's go to verse 26. It says, in the sixth month meaning that Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist for 6 months now, and Mary came to see her because Mary was her cousin. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man named, whose name is Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail. In other words, hello. You are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob, that's Israel, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. When Jesus was born, when he came into this world, he came to reign. Look at this. Kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Kingdom, 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 reigning, the throne of his. Here, kingdom, it's a compound word, king and dumb. But it's not D-U-M-B, it's D-O-M. King, dumb. King is not a president, he's not a prime minister, all right? He's not an elected official, he is king. And that means he is a sovereign. Listen to this. He's a sovereign ruler. One who reigns means one who answers to no one. That's what sovereign means. Now, we've added a lot of meaning to the word sovereign, thinking that, and they teach this in churches, it's taught everywhere, that whatever happens in this world is God's will. That's not what sovereign means. Sovereign means he's the highest authority and he answers to no one. That's all sovereign means. But religion has tossed things around a little bit to make them feel a little more comfortable that everything that happens is God's will. That helps them deal with tragedy and stuff like that when tragedy doesn't come from God. King is one who reigns. Then you got dumb, D-O-M. That is the first part of the word dominion. Now, does God have dominion in the earth? Well, I didn't mean to make you say that because it's not true. God doesn't have dominion in the earth. When did he, in fact, he gave man dominion in the earth. That's why Jesus had to become a man, because that's where the dominion was. When did he do that? Genesis 1, 26 through 20. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion in the earth. That's when he gave it to man. Man gave it to the devil. Now we've got the kingdom of Satan, the god of this world, the kingdom of darkness, is in this world. Jesus came to redeem man out of that, but until that time is up, we have to operate by faith. That is the avenue that gives us access to the inheritance that is ours. That gives us access to the blessing of God. That gives us access to all the provisions of God. That gives us everything, all the benefits of the new covenant. The covenant that God made with us, it has to be by faith. Because that's the only thing that the devil, he has no defense for faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, I think it's verse 23, 20, around there, that he said, where is boasting then? It is excluded. What is the nature of Satan? Pride. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? The law of works? No, the law of faith. The law of faith is what opens up the kingdom of heaven to us. And that's how God gets his provisions to us. One time, soon, that will be up. After that 6,000 years of the earth lease, that is up and Satan's going to get his. And I can't wait. I mean, you've seen the misery. You've seen the pictures of World War II and all of the death and destruction. That's the devil's will, not God's will. But who did he give dominion in the earth to? That's why God. That's why the devil wants to control men so that they can work his will. Because that's the only access he has into this world is through men who have dominion. And by the way, that's the only access God has into this world through man. That's why we need to get born again. Get in fellowship with him to understand his will. Kingdom. Kingdom, kingdom. Here's some definitions of kingdom. The territory subject to the rule of the king. Kingdom is the realm of royal rule. Thayer puts it like this. It literally says, and when it says kingdom of God, Thayer says, it literally means the kingdom over which God rules or the realm in which God's will is fulfilled. That's the kingdom of God. I like that because it's perfectly scripture. Because how did Jesus teach us to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So is everything that happens in the world God's will now? Certainly not. Why would he ask us to pray for something, pray for his will to be done if it was already done? And in fact, if everything that happens in this world is God's will, why pray anything at all? It makes no sense. You would be coming against God's will. I mean, this is like, duh, dumb. But the thing is, religion has these glasses and it blinds people from the truth. It's like, okay. I did that. Who did I do it with a little kid the other day? And they were trying to do it. Oh, is that Piper's play? We got something to celebrate next week. When Piper gets back here. We got a win to celebrate. So we know that everything that is God's will is not being done in the world right now. There is opposition to God's will. There is opposition on a human level, but also on a spiritual level. So, and you know, this is why it's so irritating, and it's just plain irritating to me when people see all this death, destruction, thievery, rape, murder, torture, pain, and all this, and they say, well, God must have a reason. And they try to look real wise, you know. Well, God must have a reason. But if they were really wise and they had the wisdom of God, they would know exactly that this is not God. God is a good God, and the devil's a bad devil. Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who's the thief? The devil. Jesus said so. The thief comes not, here's his agenda, to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I am come that they might have life. And that more abundantly, and that really, that word abundantly means supernatural abundance. It means cup running over. It means the lavishness of the heaven, of the kingdom of heaven. That this is a kingdom with a royal king, God who has no end. There is no end to him. He is eternal. There's no beginning, no end. It's lavished upon. Look, we need to get a vision of this. The kingdom of God is eternal. And kingdom business is eternal. And when we do what God says to do, we will be blessed in our deed. That blessing is a reward for what we do in God. Now, that sounds like works. Well, no. We don't work to get saved, but we get saved to work. All right? In Ephesians, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I'll just go over this. I didn't put this down. I didn't know I was going to go there. But it seems I am going there now. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. If you love someone, do you want to see them fall on their nose, get hurt, break their bones, lose their family member. Do you want that? No. Even when we were dead in sins, we were enemies of God. Dead in sins has quickened. That means made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you're saved. And has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Then in the ages to come. For verse 8. Excuse me. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But for we are his workmanship, created unto good works. So you see, we don't work for salvation. We don't do good deeds to get saved. We don't obey the law to get saved. You can't obey it anyways. And the harder you try, the worse you get. But we, when we come to him and say, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Save me. And he recreates your human spirit. Now you are created unto good works, which he has foreordained that you should simply walk in them. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Look at verse Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 now. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, repent, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is here, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. You know, I was watching Larry King some years ago, had this panel of preachers on there. You know who Larry King was? Is he still alive? I don't think so. Oh, he's too bad, because I think he's very sad right now because he never confessed. In fact, he told Joel Osteen one night on his show, he says, my wife prays. She says, our father and everything. Who is that? I mean, there's no father. There's no God. He died an atheist. You can be the nicest person in the world, but if you die without Jesus, you might be the nicest person in the world to ever go to hell. So, it doesn't depend on our good works. It doesn't depend on if we're good or bad. It doesn't depend on evil or whatever. That's not the gospel. The gospel is believe the gospel, not do good. All right? You do good after you believe. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So Larry King had this panel of preachers, and he tried to get them cornered. You know, he brought them with the guise of saying, we would like to discuss some current issues and how you would respond to them. So they showed up. And here they are, and he says, now, Jesus preached love and acceptance, correct? And it was quiet, and it was an uncomfortable moment. Because none of them wanted to say, no. Because they'd look like homophobes or whatever. And Larry King was trying to justify all this sin. And because when people say things like that, they want you to agree with their sin. To make them feel comfortable and they can continue in their sin. Paul said, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? No, of course not. So, uncomfortable moment. Well, you know what they ended up doing? They ended up, one guy started to nod and say, yeah, I guess he love and acceptance. And if Jesus was sitting there, you know what he would say? No, I didn't. Does this look like love and acceptance to you? We know that Jesus is love. I mean, God is love, right? But does Jesus leave you in the same condition that he found you in? And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent. Repent means go the exact opposite way. If you were believing in the things in darkness, now believe in the light. If you were sinning, believe in righteousness. Whatever it is, you go the opposite way. That's what repent means. It means to turn. It's a 180 degree turn. And believe the gospel. But you see, what happens is when you get that ooey-gooey type of love and acceptance and everything, you're getting into a human type of love that will violate every moral, every standard in order to fulfill itself. You know what that is? Selfishness. That's not love. That has no, and the thing is, it's a slippery slope. Once you start going down that slope, it doesn't get any better on the way down. And it gets murkier and murkier. Sin has no bottom to it. That's why I like the devil's going to get thrown into the bottomless pit with his own stuff, and that big angel's going to come down with that big chain and tie him up with that chain and everything and throw him in that. Oh, yes. 6,000 years God's wanted to do that. 6,000 years. Repent and believe the gospel. You've got to understand this. If you're going to have a workable knowledge of things in the kingdom of God and the principles of the kingdom of God, such as we discussed earlier, sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, seed time and harvest, forgiving, loving, walking in love when you have no reason to walk in love. Why? Because you're identifying with the God who always loves, regardless of their sin. He loves them. This is why he wants to save them, because he wants to get them to heaven. But if they refuse and reject him, he has no choice, because he has given man a free will. And he will not force his will on any person. He respects them enough to defer to their own choices. This is why it's incumbent on us to get the message out. God speaks through the church into this world. He doesn't go around that. He doesn't go around the blood, the covenant, the things of Jesus, who is the head of that church. He doesn't just go around Jesus to get things done. No, this is why it's so important. Get the word of God in you. Get the message right. Stand for what's right. Do what's right, because it's right, and then do it right. That's the old Kenneth Copeland thing. Do what's right because it's right, and then do it right. Praise God, bless Brother Copeland. You know, he's going to live 120 years on the earth. Unless Jesus says, that's it, I'm bringing everybody home. In fact, he said, that's a covenant. That's covenant with me. He says, I'm living until I'm 120. And the second I turn 120, I'm out of here. He said, I'm not staying any second longer than I want to, but I want to live 120 years, because that's, the days of man shall be 120 years. That means a lot of things, not just that. But we've got to know the difference and stop equating God's love to some human type of love. It's not just, there's an entire kingdom that is ready to explode. And you know who has the keys for that kingdom? You do. You do. Behold, I give you the keys of... You know, he didn't say the keys to the kingdom. You know, you could have the keys to the bank and be nothing more than a janitor. But when you have the keys of the kingdom, now you have the keys to the safe, to the goods, to the inheritance that is yours, to the power. And the empowerments of heaven are given to you. Now you just got to learn how to use them. How does that work? See, this is what I wanted to know when I heard about this. I said, give me those keys. Where do I put them? You know, how do I get that power out? How do I start working that? Get your power gifts. And then God will say, okay, hold on. Here. Love. Love. Forgive if you have aught against any. There's a foundation to this. Once you get those things in place, then you have a firm foundation. It's time to dig deep. Get into the things that God wants you to get into of his nature. God is love. Yeah, God will accept anybody who accepts Jesus. But he's not going to accept you without Jesus. He doesn't go around that. That's his son. Making sense to you? Okay. You know, I have so much to say to you, but if I get into it, we'll be here another 15, 20 minutes. And you don't want that, do you? You do. Okay, three yeses and three and a nod. Okay. When you enter into the kingdom of God, everything else from that moment on is revelation knowledge. It doesn't make sense to you in the natural. Jesus demonstrated that so many times. You need money for taxes. Well, go fishing. See, he's got all the answers. And the first fish you pull up, there'll be money in it. Go pay your taxes and mine. It's done. Why worry about that stuff? We need more wine. Fill up the water pots with water. Well, wait, we need... What? Do you see why things get so confused? We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God, yet we are trying to operate in the kingdom of the world and trying to get the things in the kingdom of God, and the two never connect. This is why the kingdom of God needs to be, and the things, the principles of the kingdom of God, the supply of the kingdom of God, the spirit, everything in the kingdom of God, the power of the kingdom of God has to be revealed to you. It doesn't come by observation. Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. Saying, look, go here or go there. It's no, the kingdom of God is within you. This is why it comes from revelation. God's spirit speaks to your spirit. God is a spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 4. God is a spirit, and they that worship him is worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit and the Word, Spirit and the Word. And when the Spirit starts revealing the Word to you, that's when things start happening. And then you start walking by revelation knowledge. 99% of our knowledge base is made up of knowledge that comes through our five physical senses. What we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we say, and what we feel. That makes up most of our knowledge base. But revelation knowledge is the same, except it comes through our spirit. It's God-breathed. It's God-spoken into your spirit. It's revealed to you. This is the way Jesus walked. And he is our example. And he said, if you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. You'll have the light or the understanding of the revelation of life. Your eyes will be flooded with light. This is why, and I go through this all the time, but the Ephesian prayer, pray that every single day in Ephesians 1, 17 through the end. Pray that every day, and if you do that for 6 months, the Bible will be a different book to you. Your life will be a different life to you. Your expectations will be brand new. The things that you understand will be more or less endless. They will lead to other things and other things and other things. And the spirit of revelation is so big and so powerful. But once that word... Now, don't pray that prayer 3 times a week or 5 times a week. Do it every single day for 6 months. And preferably do it more than once a day. If you can do it 2 or 3 times a day, just do it and pray it. Don't just read it. Let those words sink deep into your ears. That's what Jesus said. Let these sayings sink deep into your ears. Let them have a place in your heart, because the kingdom of God is so powerful and so beautiful that when you're manifesting the kingdom of God, the beauty of God will be there. People will be attracted to that. They're not attracted to a grumpy old guy with a beard with a fly swatter waiting for you to do something wrong. That's what religion teaches you, and that's why nobody wants it. You know what I mean? Jesus wasn't, I remember there was a movie years in, I think in the 60s, with Max von Sydow. It was called The Greatest Story Ever Told. And he went, forgive. And it's like, what's that? Nobody wants, multitudes follow that guy? Mm-mm. But when he fed them, and when he healed them, And when he spoke to him, and his wisdom was silencing all and dissolving all their doubts and questions in their mind about who God was, he was there and demonstrated to it. That is what is in you. Amen. You got to realize that you have been raised up together with Christ and made to sit. We just read it in Ephesians 2, made to sit together with him in heavenly places, far, say that, far above all principality and power. That's the opposition. And everything that is named. You are given the name of Jesus from the Father. It's been given to you to use as the key to open up the heart, the love, the power of God, and the truth that leads to salvation. I'm going to end right there. Praise God. Kingdom. Kingdom. If you want to see God's will done in your life, honor the king. Honor those who the king honors. And you know, something else, when Lori and when Sherry were praying this morning, it's like praying for us. This may sound wrong, but I don't care. It's a spiritual principle. It's the truth, okay? That when you pray for those who speak into your life, when you honor those who speak into your life, when you do that, God makes all grace abound to you. He gives you understanding. And if you can get understanding from what I tell you, I mean, you know, you need help. I mean, to understand some of the things that I say, because there's a lot of people who feel quite free to tell me that I can't do this. And a lot of this just, anyhow, pray for those who speak into your life, because you're really, it's really a selfish prayer, because you're praying for God to give me the utterance to the things that you need. And you need to know that's how revelation comes. It's a giving, and it's a type of fellowship and partnering, koinonia, with each other that God just develops. So pray for me. No. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for joy. I thank you, Father, that you just tickle us sometimes and you just help us. We thank you for your help. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who has been assigned to help us. And Lord, we just open up our hearts now, because if we need help, we just admit it. And we thank you that we need help. But that need is met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, because you give us more than enough. More than enough help, more than enough mercy, more than enough grace, more than enough love, more than enough faith, more than enough of everything that we need anytime we need it, because you're God. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that these words sink down deep into our ears and they start to root and produce fruit in the name of Jesus, that we will be able to overcome things that we haven't been able to overcome up to now, but now we have a gate that's open. Now we have a door that's open that we can close behind us and go in and know that everything's taken care of in the past, that the blood of Jesus has washed it all away, deleting all of heaven's memory banks. And we don't have to deal with that. And Lord, if the blood of Jesus was strong enough and powerful enough to wipe our sin out of your mind, it's strong enough to wipe it out of our mind and give us a righteousness consciousness. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Jesus' name, amen. Say this, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say it again. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Pooh, you got the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. You're